Hello, rock stars. I'm your host, Carrie Price. Welcome to the High Vibe Mama podcast. I am so thrilled to be discussing all things health, wellness, lifestyle, motherhood, and more. Ready to get vibed? Okay. Hello, hello, friends. It's me, Carrie, and we're back in the podcasting studio. And I'm so excited that you're here. I actually have a really special guest that's on. And yeah, I'm actually pretty squealing. I'm really excited about this because I've been looking into EFT. And so I have Bill Doval right here.
Very, very good.
I said it right. Okay. And he is a master EFT
practitioner
and trainer. And he has all this list of credentials in the EFT space. And so with that, I guess I want you to kind of introduce yourself and then tell us like what EFT is.
Perfect. Yeah, I have a long, varied career in all sorts of things, from musician to window washer and et cetera, all the way up until I became a nurse with a specialty in psychiatry, almost switched to becoming a therapist. And then once I was working, running partial hospitalization programs, that's where you're too depressed just to wait a week and go see a therapist, so you come in and do groups all day. And I started looking for the most effective techniques possible.
Wow.
And so on that route, I discovered there was one thing we can make a permanent change in, which is panic disorder. And we can get into that. But everything else, we weren't making, quote unquote, a permanent change. And there's always quotes around the word permanent. But in other words, it really did change.
Right.
You'd have to keep doing, I was doing a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy, Burns method, all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I searched for 15 years for something that would empower the client to make a huge change and have the change actually just be changed, as opposed to trying to do the same thing over and over and over again 10,000 times till you get it.
Okay. So explain, because those listening maybe have never even heard of EFT. They're like, EFT, is that like ET phone home or what? Do you know what I'm saying? Like, what is?
Are we doing electronic funds transfers? Yeah. I mean, you know.
Yeah,
and so there's emotionally focused therapy, which is a type of psychotherapy.
Yeah. Explain what EFT stands for and what really it is, like the tool that is used, especially what we're talking about on my podcast, is the vibe section of emotional, spiritual, mindset, those type of things. Like what does it stand for and what is it?
Well, emotional freedom technique was coined to give people the understanding that they didn't have to be enslaved or bound or bossed around by their emotions. You can tap on specific acupuncture points. And while you're tapping on those, the original version these are the ends of your meridians, and that untwists the kinks in your energy system. So gold standard EFT is saying we just unkink it and then everything's fine, because the cause of everything bad is a kinked up meridian. And then along came clinical EFT, like the Dawson Church line, for those of you that are following at home. then that idea was, we're tapping on the ends of meridians in order to untwist the kinks in your meridian system. But at the same time, we're doing cognitive behavioral therapies, gradual exposure technique. And here's mine. And I know this is audio, but everybody will get this. Could have had a V8. I've got a headache.
Yeah.
Home Alone poster. You know, I'm really, really concentrating. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Everyone in our audience knows which places on my body I just touched.
Yep.
And the reason they know where those are, besides really good actors and actresses, is that when you need to catch your breath, you'll touch right up here on the top of your chest around the collarbone. And the reason we touch there is because it's a built-in instinct that this is how we calm ourselves back down.
Wow.
And so my explanation goes beyond just the acupuncture, which is wonderful. I have some background in acupressure and things like that. But
okay.
There's nothing wrong with it, but these are the comforting spots on our body. Mm-hmm. And you can hold one of these spots for 27 seconds, and it'll send the signal into your nervous system to start to calm down. And you can probably hear the tapping sound.
Yes.
That's all it takes, tapping, to get the same effect. So okay. Otherwise, I'd have you hold it. You okay. know, I mean, if standing on your head was helpful, I'd get one of those upside-down machines. And okay. But what really works, tapping works way faster. And so on the one hand, we're telling your nervous system that we're in this okay, calm, loved, safe kind of place emotionally.
Okay.
But and that in and of itself is a good thing. It's kind of like a meditation. However, that's not the reason I do it.
Okay.
It's what we do first. If you come in for a session and what you need to do at home to help you for taking something out you don't like, is you kind of write out what the heck is wrong. In my case, it's very structured. What's your situation? How's it affecting you? Oh, what's your goal? Sometimes people, goal? How could I have, didn't you just hear about what's going on?
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if you don't, and if you can't find an answer to these questions, don't worry about it. Nothing bad happens.
Well, I think I talked about that on my last podcast too, is like asking yourself different questions. Like a lot of times we're like, why? Like we could go why all day long, but what right. about what, right?
Yes.
So like what? How do you want to feel? Like, what is the what about this? Or how do I want to feel? And asking ourselves different questions instead of saying, why? I know I've been there.
Yes.
I've just gone on that why wheel all the time. We could be there all day long.
Well, I discovered many years ago in the field of psychiatry and psychology that if you find the answer to why, still doesn't matter.
Really? Interesting.
Just no. Yeah, because... The whys, like the sociopathic pattern, for example, which is how I call it for my clients, when people are mean to each other, when they're not honest, and when they betray, and when they do all these mean, nasty things to each other, the pursuit of why is kind of keeps you hooked in that cycle of abuse.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah.
And so what I do with the person, if they can come up with a goal, and I'll ask this with the compassion as opposed to all the free advice you can get.
Exactly.
Probably have gotten.
All the things you can Google, right?
Yes. I say, well, why don't you just do that? You know, let's say you were talking about grieving. Grieving
yes.
is about getting over. Okay. So my goal is to move on from this terrible tragedy. And then I'll say with a sense of compassion, so why don't you just do that? And what pops out next, that's what's in your way.
Right.
And it's the thoughts.
And how can we move forward, right, in that?
You know, I have no idea. I mean, I cried all day yesterday. It didn't seem to help, you know. And so we're writing all this stuff down.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get into the thoughts that lead to the emotions, that lead to your reactions, that lead to your body sensations and that big circle that is your body, mind, spirit. And then we'll rate it. And then as goofy as it sounds, and I'm the first to tell you how goofy it sounds and looks.
It's okay. We've talked about that, like the woo-woo, why woo-woo works. And I actually just heard about a book my friend just told me. She's like, you should read Why Woo-Woo Works. And I was like, oh my gosh, I need to read that book because, you know, I've yes. talked about this before that people, you know, they see me in my fitness classes and nutrition, but then when they see me over here with like crystals and like emotional stuff, tapping or meditating, they feel like they're two separate things, but it's like it actually works cohesively in your body, right?
Yes.
The physical and the emotional body are connected. They're not disconnected. And I feel like in our world right now, people want to say that they're disconnected or we have to treat them separately when really it's homeostasis, right? Finding that balance in between both.
Yeah, the way I explain it to my clients is your brain bone is connected to your ankle bone. And the body mind doesn't know the difference. We say, excuse me, this is an emotion, and this thing over here is a thought, and it doesn't know the difference. There's some structural reasons why to separate those out, which we can go into, but
yeah, tell us all the things. We're listening. This is all about you. This podcast is all about you. So yeah,
well, thank
maybe
you.
Let's go through. So we've defined kind of what EFT is. It's a tapping method.
Yes.
And the reason why it's so useful, because it's a tangible thing, right? It's using our senses where we could actually touch and feel where we're feeling that emotion, correct?
Yes. Well, what it does in the moment, which is a really good thing. Like, let's take an easy one. Like, somebody has a terrible fear of public speaking. And so they'll come to me, and as we're going to work on that fear of public speaking in the session, we'll tap while we'll write, you know, I've tried everything you can think of. I've been with Toastmasters. I've tried drugs. I've tried, you know, I've been to speech coaching and yeah. Nothing ever seems to work. You know, I feel pretty good in the session.
Yeah.
And I'm just tapping while I'm saying that. And then as soon as I approach the podium, my heart starts beating. My hands are sweating. I can't think. My chest feels tight, you know. And so the reason to do the tapping along with figuring out the problems and tapping them down, the reason to do the tappings, because it does something that at first sounds magical. It actually turns on the record button in your mind and body.
Wow.
That's the part a lot of people miss, because they get caught up in the untwisting your meridians. The meridians, all meridian work is wonderful stuff. I have nothing against that. But the reason you imprint is because your emotions have a high enough intensity to turn on the record button. Right now, our conscious minds are about 40 bits a second, and our unconscious minds are about 40 million bits a second.
Wow.
And they're, you know, like the ejection fraction of your heart going into the descending aorta and the amount of vasodilation you need there, and how about what you need in the little toe? Okay. If you were trying to keep track of that consciously, you could barely walk or do anything else.
Right.
So the unconscious mind is doing a whole boatload of stuff that is really important, and it doesn't want this puny little conscious mind to go running in there and, you know, start recording over stuff. So it won't let you. And that was the key that took me a long time to figure out and see the clinical evidence for, which is huge.
So does the tapping open that up so it starts to change in your subconscious minds, like the thoughts and the patterns that you have going on?
It does. And the mechanism of that is that, you know, you're terrified to see a car wreck and never be the same. All right. And then you have screeching tires, I'll never be the same.
Yeah.
And then another screeching tires, you go, and your spouse goes, you got to calm down about screeching tires now. Sound of his voice, screeching tires, car wrecks, I'll never. It keeps building itself and re-recording because the emotions are high enough in intensity. When we tap, we are signaling the body to build up a high enough intensity of the loved, calm, okay, kind of emotional state. And you don't have to be upset to imprint. Any kind of big emotion will imprint. And so the beauty of tapping is that it's going to leave your conscious mind on because it's not an emergency. Mm-hmm. You know, the conscious mind turns off. You know, you're driving here, you have to swerve, and you can't think about, you know, what's it going to do to the stuff I have on the driver's seat, on the rider's seat, and,
yeah.
You know, how much is the bill going to be? It goes that fast. But when you're calm, it leaves your thinking mind on. And so the beauty of this is the record button is on. And so the way I would explain it, we're tapping on the body's super comforting points, and that turns on the body's record button. Then we delete the thoughts, emotions, reactions, and body sensations you don't like, and we put in the ones you do, and that's the beauty of tapping right there, is that not just when you're in an office or you do a little exercise, you feel better, it's that you're making changes that will stay in place from here on out. And the degree to which you make the changes in each session depends on how much stuff you got in there.
Right. And sometimes we have a lot of stuff.
Yes.
I feel like I have a lot of stuff. Okay. So maybe I know you said that we'd get into that later of talking about how, and maybe take us through that. So we have something happen, like a hardship that happens, let's just say like loss of a loved one or
yes.
just something, or there's trauma with that. There's a scene, there's, you know, and then there's the emotion, and then we feel it, and then it's almost, we feel it physically too. And so kind of take us through that process of what kind of happens in the body.
Well, what we call negative emotions, we think they're negative. Now, those parts of us that do these emotions, they're looking at us, if I could anthropomorphize them, they're looking at us as if we're nuts. It's like, weren't you there? The part that's making you scared to death is going, you don't want to do that again, do you? And so the more it makes you scared of a situation, for example, the more it's taking a bow with a victory lap saying, hey, I'm keeping her from doing hardly anything, all right? That's particularly true of anxiety, by the way. That's mm-hmm. its purpose. Mm-hmm. And so people get caught in something like, I want to avoid this anxiety at all costs. And your body's going, oh, I have the perfect emotion for avoiding things. Anxiety. And so
right.
You start feeling anxiety in order to avoid feeling anxiety, hoping it will help you feel less anxiety. When we're tapping, the record button is on, is when we do that, like that, you know, when you laughed right there, and the person goes, well, maybe trying to avoid anxiety isn't the best, and mm-hmm. and then we figure it out. Because every single emotion has a functional version. You hear kind of the rocks dropping all the way down to the bottom of the canyon, and you'd like to go over to the edge, and then you think about the Roadrunner cartoons, and you go, I'm a little too squeamish, anxious about getting to the end, and then you don't, you know, do the Roadrunner thing and take a nosedive down in the canyon. So anxiety was functional. It's when the anxiety has you that's the problem.
Right, and I've talked about this too on my podcast, and I've talked about it on my Instagram stuff. There's a difference between healthy grief and unhealthy grief.
Very, very true.
Yeah, because grief is just a natural thing that happens when we lose someone or we go through something that's super hard and traumatic. Like, we actually have to feel it. We can't just avoid, because then I've even noticed too, when I avoid, then it builds up and I start snapping mm-hmm. at the weirdest things, or I feel like I'm not in control anymore because I've let it build up so much. And so maybe we can go into that a little bit.
Well, like with anxiety, when somebody comes in, they'll learn that anxiety is about avoiding things, and then they can embrace their anxiety but put it back in a functional way. Now, what the heck is grief good for? What's your guess?
Well, what? I guess for me, grief, and I've talked about this a lot, is grief has kind of made me open up more, even to be more compassionate person. I've had more empathy for yes. people. So I feel like that's a very healthy part of grief.
That's a very good thing to use grief for. You're making lemonade out of lemons, so to speak. But the emotion of grief is to honor a loss.
Yeah.
To really, truly honor it. And to honor how much it hurts. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things I know about grieving that I learned a long time ago, running partial hospitalization programs where people come in and they go to therapy groups all day, and is that effective grieving is when you are hurting, you accept that this is a loss and it hurt.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if you do it the other way, you know, the way I explain it to my clients is I hurt, I accept, then I feel better. Okay. And then I do a little, it's all so easy at the end so they can get the steps are easy. Grief is horrible. I mean, who wants to grieve?
Right.
And we don't go looking for grief. This is not like therapy. We don't go in and poke, poke, poke. Oh, I got her crying now. No, we're just when a grieving thought comes up, and you can tell usually because your eyes start leaking, and as you're in that grieving thought, the purpose of the grief is for the part of you that feels all of this pain that we have to shove to the side, mm-hmm. wants somebody to sit down with her and be understanding and caring. Mm-hmm. And it's not about information. So here's the trick, all right,
okay.
to effective grieving, because we know we want it in the order, I hurt, I accept, then I feel better. Mm-hmm. So let's say I really miss him, all right, and the tears start. And so we'll tap and we'll say it over and over again. I really miss him. I really miss him. I really miss him. And then I'll go to past tense a little bit. Even before I came in here today, I really missed him. I really missed him. Yeah. This is all the pain you've ever felt from that thought. Mm-hmm. And we say it over and over and over again. I usually find some of the copy we already have of what the person has said and interject it, you know, like three of the I really missed him, and then, you know, another line or another issue so we can see how it connects to everything.
Yeah.
But we keep saying I really missed him until you go, you know, I feel better. And if it takes three times or 3,000 times, we don't care. It's not about the information. And that's where our culture is horrible with grieving. We think, okay, I got it. I got it, you know, five times ago, you really miss him. It's about that person in you being able to say it over and over and over again and have people go, oh, I understand that you're really hurting. Of course you're really hurting. Instead of the Mr. and Mrs. Fix-Its showing up to, well, you know, he's gone on to a better place and, you know, you'll get over this and time passes on. All of that just is, you know, it ends up getting the person into an angry state.
Exactly.
Okay. And anger is really good for repressing your grief when you need to, you know, or so is fear and anxiety. You know, any huge emotion can get just above the level of your grief. The problem is pretty soon you won't feel that angry and here comes the grief back. So sometimes you need to avoid the grief. And when you're ready to grieve, meaning you're in a safe place, at least you are listening to you, and maybe someone else is going to listen to you, and they know that they're going to hear it a lot of times, tapping speeds that way up. So we tap, I really miss him. And then, you know, every once in a while we get to a good place to check in. I say, you know, so any grief and pain left in that thought, I really miss him? They go, huh, no. And then I just have them repeat, I hurt, I accept, I feel better. It's all so easy. And the reason we're saying it's all so easy, I'll give you one more feature, is everyone that doesn't know how to grieve effectively has been teaching us the same three steps. They just mess up the order. They go, I hurt, it's your job to feel better. So we go, I hurt, I feel better, then I accept it. And the part of you inside that's really hurting is going, I'm not buying that. You're telling me you're accepting that it hurts when you're avoiding the hurt?
Right. Our body knows.
Yes. And you can think of these sections, and we have to compartmentalize because otherwise you'd feel all the grief at once and nobody can handle that. What we're doing is we push it off in this space, so to speak, and then we need to go sit with her or him while they say it as many times as they need with someone who is understanding that, yeah, I really do miss him. I miss him. And then all of a sudden, you've said it enough times. And then we seal it up by saying, I hurt, I accept, I feel better. It's all so easy. And then they don't have to grieve that thought anymore. There may be some more thoughts that are connected to their grief. And so how long does it take to grieve out a certain problem? Well, it depends how many thoughts that are full of grief that are in there.
I know, right? Which I feel like grief comes with so many thoughts, right? And so it's a process. And I think that's what we have to also accept is that, you know, it's not just this overnight thing. And then grief can pop up different times. You know, I was speaking to a girl the other day and she was like, wow, like when I had my first baby, I like grieved my mom death all over because I was like, oh, she wasn't there.
Yes.
You know? And so I had to go through like that process again and feeling like, you know, I've call it kind of integrated grief is that it's just, it moves alongside of us, but it doesn't have to like take over our life, you know? Mm-hmm. But this experience that we've experienced or hardship or, you know, I mean, we could talk about this whole year. I've said it so many times. This whole year and a half has been a year of grief, right? For a lot of people, whether it's loss or tons of change that you're not expecting, you know. And, I mean, I bet you can vouch for this, that I even feel it in the energy of our world that the emotional, we are not emotionally smart right now.
Oh, goodness, no. Yeah,
we're just so heightened, and nobody knows how to be emotionally, what is the word I'm looking for? Emotional quotient, like emotionally sound, like how to really work through emotions in a healthy way, like we've talked about. So many people, we don't know this, and this is why I'm doing this podcast, because I feel like what a tangible way in order to help us move through emotions that we can, and something we can do ourselves, because we can talk all day long about how we feel, right? We can write in our journal as much as we want, but unless it's like actually moved through our body in a tangible way, there is no moving that energy up and out, which needs to be moved, right?
That's really true. And if you just talk it, what ends up happening is you're reinforcing the pattern over and over again. And oddly enough, you can do exactly the same talking behavior. Like let's say you've journaled or you're talking it out. When you're tapping, it takes the charge out of it. And we talk about the charge all the time. The official thing is called a SUDS, you know, subjective units of distress. Okay. But without all that explanation of it, if it's 10 out of 10, and then you tap, instead of trying to change it, you tap acknowledging it, it will go down to 8 out of 10 and 6 out of 10 and 3 and 4, because all the parts of us want to be validated and they want to be heard. And once that part of you that's either hurting or sending you a big alarm, you know, don't do that, stay away, whatever those are, they want to be heard. It's like if I describe it like a fire alarm, mm-hmm. all right? If what your body ends up doing is saying, this is a crazy world, so it pulls the fire alarm because it's pretty sure you're going to have a fire someday. So
I just had a visual of me pulling the fire alarm in middle school and running and never getting caught.
A real fire
I'm
alarm,
telling
yes.
on myself. Anyway, keep going. I just had that memory pop up.
I love that story. Yeah. But what it's like is the body keeps the fire alarm on.
Oh yeah.
And in preparation, because you know it's only a matter of time. But we explain to the body that that subtle urging where our intuition tells us to take a right turn, don't park here. That person looks pretty sketchy. I'm crossing the street, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. We won't hear that if you have a fire alarm going off.
Exactly. I love that.
And so we're teaching the fire alarm that we get your message. And that's the other thing. We're biological beings. So if you're not paying attention to the alarm, like you keep trying to shove it down, the alarm part of you will go, what do I have to do to get through to her? And it will turn up the heat and switch emotions or go different locations. You know, all of a sudden you've got all sorts of digestive problems or, mm-hmm. you know, I've got heart palpitations or, you know, I've been grinding my teeth. That's all part of that same system. If A doesn't work, then they'll take you to B. Anxiety does that. Okay, I'm anxious and I'm going to force myself to get through this. And the anxious part goes, well, I'll make you even more anxious. And then you're really, really anxious, but you do it anyway.
Yep.
And then it goes, well, you know, the anxiety's not working. Let's try fear. And then terrified. And if that doesn't work, it'll give you panic attacks. And no one can stop the panic attack from disabling you.
Well, I'm pretty sure in your practice, you probably saw that so much, right? Where mm-hmm. it just escalated and escalated and escalated, right? And then
yes.
now you have someone who's completely unstable. Right?
Yeah, and it feels like you're completely unstable, but alarm A set off alarm B that set off alarm C. And pretty soon your whole life is nothing but these biological alarms. Somebody I'm thinking of that had oodles of reasons why, you know, their personal childhood, abuse, blah, 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 you know, et cetera.
Yeah, all the
and,
things.
So they were really panicked about going out and driving anywhere. And then eventually, after a few sessions, you know, she would say, you know, I'm not really panicked, but I'm kind of anxious about it. And then she said, well, I'm not really anxious anymore, several sessions after that. But I'm still pretty uncomfortable. We're going backwards through the alarm system that got put in there.
Right.
Feeling uncomfortable didn't work. Well, let's try anxiety. Anxiety didn't work. Well, let's try fear. Fear didn't work. Well, I got something that'll ground you for sure, you know. And we're against these emotional states because they're so painful, but they each have a purpose. Mm-hmm. If we can learn how to repurpose them, so to speak, it works so much better than trying to dominate them.
Oh, I love that. So instead of having a purpose, we just repurpose them in a different way in the body or in our spirit or in our mind. you know, and it's all connected. And that's what I love about this whole thing is, wow, our bodies are so incredible. If we could just honor it and honor our emotions, honor our body, it's so amazing. And I think we could even do this as far as health. You know, when you get a cold, I always tell people, well, when your nose starts running and you're coughing, it's actually your body doing what it needs to do to heal.
Absolutely.
And then when we feel grief or we feel anxiety, these are clues, right? Mm-hmm. Our body is leaving us clues and telling us, hey, we need some support here. Hey, we're needing support, just like with our immune system. Hey, we're needing a little bit of support because this and this happened. But it's actually an innate response of the body to have a runny nose, a cough,
yes.
Right? An innate response to feel this, you know, whatever's going on emotionally. And so I love that you said that it's like, we don't have to just be like, all right, I'll just avoid and I'm just going to push it over here, push it, because then another emotion will come up because of it, right?
Yes, because you, in order to keep the grief tamped down is a better way.
Yeah.
In order to keep that all covered up, well, you're going to have lots and lots of activity. I just can't stop, because if I stop, I'm going to break out in tears. And then mm-hmm. it's like a bicyclist trying to keep ahead of the tidal wave. Eventually you get tired and the tidal wave catches up. Mm-hmm. And so what works way better is sometimes you avoid the grief. And then when you're in a safe place, mm-hmm. you learn how to get supported in that grief. Years ago, well before tapping, what I wouldn't give to go back a few decades in time and have this tool now to use. But mm-hmm. Someone would start grieving, and I would have the whole group. I was always running groups. Okay, nobody be helpful. Just whatever this person is saying, just acknowledge that it's true and it hurts. Mm-hmm. And then they would grieve, and then they would feel better. Because
they would feel seen and heard.
Yes.
And that's really what we need, right?
Mm-hmm. Very, very much. Advice is the worst thing you can do. And so I had a little thing I'd say at the end, and I'd say, okay, everybody whose parents modeled effective grieving, raise your hand.
and nobody would, right?
Well, they'd all giggle just like you are. Nobody would. But I had the experience, and this was in the San Francisco Bay Area.
You're a Californian?
No, I'm in Idaho.
I'm just kidding.
I went to California for 15 years and came back. Okay.
So you knew the bright state to live in. No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, believe me. Yes, the great opportunities there. And I can do 5 podcasts on what's wrong with California.
Right,
but anyway,
exactly.
So in that one, so she said, when I was growing up, we knew how to do exactly what you're saying. Now, she was 90-something, looked like she had just stepped out of a Fellini movie, you know, of the old Italian look and all that stuff.
Wow.
And she was the last remaining person she knew in her village. And so her grandson and brought her to San Francisco. Now she's depressed. She's in the program. But she said, when I was a little girl, it was always the husband that was lost. Not now with all the things that are going on with toxins and stuff, but in a natural environment, more males are conceived than females because, you know, we're always falling off the cliff and getting lost at sea and stuff like that.
Right.
And so when the widow found out that she was a widow, she would run home and put on 100% black clothing. And anytime a woman dressed in black broke down on the street, and again, this is well before cars and all that, and started weeping, everybody stopped what they're doing, and they wept with her.
Wow.
And if she had to say 50,000 times, I miss him, they would just nod and say, yes, we miss him.
Yeah.
Now, as the year progressed, she would wear less and less black clothing, everything from underwear to earrings to, you know, shawl, yeah, whatever it is. And on the anniversary date of her husband's death, she would take off the last piece of black clothing and never wear black again. It was this transcendent moment that she was free of the grief.
Wow.
And she says, yeah, we knew how to do it in that village, you know. And again, we're talking 100 and some years ago. She was,
yeah,
in her 90s and a few decades ago, blah, blah, blah. And but we as human beings have lost the ability to grieve effectively. And I'm not a traditional psychiatric person at all. A lot of experience in the hospital systems and all that. But right now, in the newest version of you've got something wrong with you diagnosis, it's called ineffective grieving syndrome. And if you have a child die, if you're still hurting 2 weeks later, well, you have ineffective grieving syndrome. It's time. Here's your med, you know.
Right, exactly. And so I feel like it's just putting a Band-Aid on it. Or even for me, you know, my family would even be like, well, aren't you depressed? Like, it sounds like you're depressed. And I'm like, I'm actually just grieving. Like, this is healthy grief.
Yes.
You know, I don't need medication. I don't, like, there's only so much therapy. It's like, this is actually part of the grieving process. And yes. I don't know why we're so phobia to it, you know?
Or, well, it hurts.
Right. Well, and I've talked about this in my later podcast. It's just people are afraid of pain and hurt, especially when it's not their own. It's somebody else's. And they don't really know what to say or how to take that on. And so we have to give people grace. Mm-hmm. But, you know, saying like, you know, everything happens for a reason or, you know, things like that. Yeah. We just cringe at those kind of things.
Yes.
Because, and I actually had this kind of spiritual download the other day that I shared on my Instagram, is that it's actually not about enduring to the end and that everything happens for a reason, because sometimes just things happen. Mm-hmm. It's actually about finding everlasting love for yourself and your experience. That's mm-hmm. what it's about. Nothing else. And how can you love yourself in this experience? Because this hurts, or what you went through sucks, or no, you shouldn't have to go through this, but you did. And look how strong you are. Look how much you're coming out of it. I acknowledge you. I see you. I hear you.
Yeah.
You know, all of those beautiful things that people want to hear. So,
yeah. And we need to hear them, and we need to hear them with somebody who's not trying to correct us in how we're feeling. And when grief has honored the loss enough, then the grief subsides. And every level, every thought that we grieve out, and tapping's just way faster, which is why I love it. I mean, you don't need to take 18 months, but each thought has to get its attention. Sometimes a thought will say it 6, 7, 8 times and it's done. And sometimes
it's like 3,000, you know, or something.
Oh, yeah.
I have a question, though. So you're saying tapping kind of taps into that electrical charge in our body, starts the record button. So how is this kind of different? Because I've talked about before, like breath work or meditation. Can they be in combination, or do you feel like tapping just needs to be by itself, and then we still can do breath work and meditation and different modalities such as that?
They're all really good things. There's a stark difference. Breath work, you're concentrating on your breath, and the problem thoughts leave your consciousness. They go back and get put back in their compartment. And then we leave this interview. You go down, get on the street. Some jerk cuts you off. And it's all back. Okay. With tapping, we're talking about something different that, instead of distracting you, which is what a lot of people think. So they think two things. It's placebo effect and distraction. It's the opposite.
Okay.
When we're tapping, we're rubbing it in your face what is bothering you.
Like, really? And you're doing that. You're just like tapping your face. Yes. And it's like in your face kind of thing.
And we're saying it over and over again. You know, I really miss him. Getting back to grieving. I really miss him. I really missed him. You know, it's been 3 years and I still really missed him. Excuse me, I hit the mic because I am tapping.
No, you're totally fine. Or whatever emotion that could be, like feeling anxious or depressed or just feeling angry. Like, you know, we've had all of these different emotions, and I forget what the movie's called. My kids watch it, but it's a movie about all these different emotions, but these emotions are characters. And then every time this girl has an emotion, they put this ball down and it like goes down and hits her emotional part. And then she's angry or she's happy or, you know, I forget what this movie is called. Yeah, it's called, it's on the tip of my tongue. But anyway, my kids, Inside Out, that's what it's called. You should watch it. It's a Disney movie and it's about all these emotions. And, you know, the angry emotion is like fire and he's like all the time. And so when she does something, he gets that emotion. And it's interesting because the movie talks about how all of these emotions are important. We
Absolutely.
Actually And they actually try to get rid of the sadness emotion. And they realize when they get rid of the sadness emotion that then all the other ones start to shut down because she needs the sadness emotion. And so it's a really, you know, so awesome film for your kids, or I enjoyed it and it came out a while ago. So I guess to wrap it up is that all these other modalities are good, right?
Absolutely.
I don't like the word but, and tapping just helps it go quicker because we're tapping in to the subconscious.
Yeah, turning quicker on that record button. And if you don't, you cannot mess this up, all right? People come to me because it's way too intense. It's all tangled up and they can't find their way out. And I'm kind of like your coach and guide through getting it untangled and how to apply the tapping. And all my clients get really good at it. But, you know, I'm tapping on inside of my eyebrow, outside of my eyes, under my eye. You can't mess this up. And even half the world or more than taps with one hand, I always tap with two, et cetera. When you're tapping, just instead of trying to get to the good stuff, you always start with the bad stuff. If you just journaled, read your journal. And the first line tap here, second line tap there, phrase by phrase, change a point for every point that seems to make sense in the way you say it, and just read through it. It will help. So
say if you're feeling like shame, which shame is like literally the lowest before death besides fear. Like it is huge emotion. Would they just keep saying that over and over? I'm shameful. I feel shame. I feel shame. And see what comes up.
That's a simple way to do it. In classical EFT, gold standard, and to some degree in clinical EFT, they'll have the thing where you say the title for a whole round. That's all the way through all the points you're currently doing. And then they'll have you change to a happier thought for the second round. But in real life, you can't even go to the happier thought until the upset thought is down more. Mm-hmm. And they will go title, for example, it's under one of the old techniques. Just say the title. And then they'll say, well, second round, let's tell the story. And it really, whatever you can do in that moment is what to do. If you're panicked out of your mind, I had a client, we took care of panic, then somebody very close to her died. Mm-hmm. I got this email, and my tapping has worked. I haven't had a single panic attack, and then she died. And it says, I started going in the panic, and I tapped on all my points saying, I'm not panicked, I'm not panicked, I'm not panicked. And I said, your body didn't believe you.
Yes, exactly. You got to acknowledge it first.
Yeah.
Then we go in. And I feel like that's why I call it grief to growth.
Yes.
Because that's what we're doing, right? We're just growing with that grief. And it changes over time. Our capacity will change over time to be able to handle that grief, you know?
Yes. And when we have said it enough times with someone who cares, particularly the person who is grieving, caring about the part that's really hurting inside themselves, when you say it enough times, even without tapping, it'll resolve itself. We know it's about 6 months to a year and a half for that. With the tapping, it just goes way faster. It's like, you know, having five of your best friends, you know, giving you a group hug while you grieve and cry, and they all get it. Nobody tries to give you a suggestion. It's more impactful in how the body feels, you know, getting you to that safe, comforted, loved, okay place. And that's usually when we hurt, by the way. We don't, you know, when you're having a totally rushed day and everything's totally nuts and you're terribly afraid to think, you're not going to grieve then. You know, the expression, soldiers don't grieve on the battlefield. You can't. You won't come back home.
I love
home.
That. So I know there's lots of moms and lots of the emotions that come up for moms. Let's see how much time we have left. We have a little bit. But I know the emotion, like, overwhelmed. And obviously there's so many things because we wear so many hats. There's, like, kids and store shopping and then there's this, and then someone falls down, and then someone, you know, your teenager does this, and you know, all of these things. And so I guess for moms listening, what would you give advice for that overwhelmed feeling that comes up maybe a lot for us?
The first thing I would do if you're feeling overwhelmed, I would just tap the points at least, and don't worry if you don't get them all in the right order or something. I use a lot more than standard. It doesn't matter. They'll all really help.
And tell us the points real fast. It's between the eyebrows.
We call it the eyebrow point, which is the end of the natural hair of your eyebrow.
Okay.
Okay. And then the side eye point is the side of your eye. You'll feel a little indentation there. It's below the temple slightly.
Okay.
And then the under eye point, think Home Alone.
Right. That's
the point. And then nose and chin, which is below the nose, the philtrum, you know, that little indentation there. And then the deepest part above the chin and below the lips.
Okay.
And I tap them together. A lot of people tap one, then the other, or do one hand. I tap two hands
because
more points, you know, tips of the fingers tapping together is wonderful too. Mm-hmm. Collarbone is you go down your neck and you hit that notch, go slightly to the side, and you feel the end of the collarbone directly underneath it, not quite on the sternum. There's a big hole there. These are the holes, incidentally, that connect to the nervous system. Underarm is like the big hug. I really need some help. And then there's one we call the anger or liver point. We just call it the liver. It's right here, ladies. The point you probably wouldn't tap on in public, that's a spot.
Yeah. Okay. What about the solar plexus?
The solar plexus can be a good spot to tap on. What right I here. Do at the end... And there are a lot more points. You know, there's a spleen point that's...
I know. There's so many meridians. I know all about the meridians, too.
And you can tap on these different points. The reason I choose the ones that I've chosen, and you'll have to tap after you do it, but I took a huge disaster, you know, tidal wave, people dying, and all of that. And I just... So I'm thinking, okay, I get this school of thought taps here, that school of thought... thought does over there. This holding distance school has these points. And I said, so what am I going to be using? Because I wanted to have the most effective set. And I just look where people were holding when they were absolutely upset out of their minds. You know, the top of the head point, the forehead.
Yeah,
you know,
it's usually like down on the jaw. Hands. Yeah. Or like, I know for me, like when I feel like overwhelmed, it's just like putting your head back and just like... You know, that's kind of
that's
like
a very
the
good thing to
emotion
do.
For overwhelmed. So what would you say? So tapping and then acknowledging just your overwhelm, or what would be what you would say?
Well, like if I were tapping with somebody and they're overwhelmed, and they're too overwhelmed to say much, so we don't have any material to tap with to begin with. And I am just so overwhelmed. And I have, because I'll ask him what's good about feeling overwhelmed. Are you crazy? I mean, you're absolutely nuts. I mean, who wants to feel overwhelmed? And I'll say, and there are things making me feel overwhelmed. And they'll say, yeah, there's a whole bunch of things making me feel overwhelmed. Then I turn it over to them and I say, and here's my list of things that make me feel overwhelmed. Tap and list them.
Yeah.
This thing, you know, and I got to pick up the kids, but I only have 15 minutes from right there, and there's those big long lines now, and you know, and now everybody's kind of in a bad mood because we all have to wait, and then I realize we're not going to get to soccer practice quite on time, and the coach has been to get blah blah blah, and you're going down the list, and you just list everything that's overwhelming you. Usually, the last one that comes up, I'm giving all sorts of technique.
No, I love that.
Here.
Yeah,
but the last one that comes up on your list, you know, take a breath, relax, and then, okay, go to the last one on the list and write out everything about that one. Because usually, you know, the first one is the one that's on top, and you get all the way down to that gut level. It's just like, you know, and then tap on that. And when it gets... when it's too intense and it's too complicated, we always recommend you get with a highly certified practitioner in EFT to work with you. The rest of the time, this is what you do on your own. I have clients that were seeing me. I mean, and I take the most horrible stuff.
Well, I think that's probably empowering for you as a practitioner, because to have people be empowered themselves and to use things and tools to help themselves emotionally. I feel like the whole world needs Sage and EFT right now. You know what I mean? Tell us, how can people find you? I'll put this all in the show notes. How can people like find you online or book an appointment with you? You're here local and serve the Treasure Valley. Tell us all the goodies.
So I have an office people can come into. The website is PRO, like pro football, P-R-O, EFT, like Emotional Freedom Technique. So it's proeft.com and C-O-M. And when you get there, there are some videos and links. And what you do is you get a hold of me. And I found, you know, I don't have a self-scheduling app. My gut feeling has always said not to. What you do is you send me an email, call the phone number, leave me a voicemail or text, and in between clients, I'll get back with you, and we'll arrange a time for you.
Right, and you also, just so you guys know, you also do over Zoom. So yes. Let's say someone who's listening maybe doesn't live in the area. You also do this virtually as well,
yes.
Correct?
The only two continents I haven't had clients on is Antarctica and Africa. So if you know anybody in Antarctica that's just coming into their summer, have them get a hold of me, okay?
Right. So. Very cool. Yeah. So he works virtually. And yeah, I feel like, wow, this was such a great podcast. I feel like I learned so much. And of course, I'm like, yes, I need to book a session and get in on that healing, because this, I feel like, is such a healing tool you can use. Mm-hmm. You know, because very I know much. That I've tried all the things like writing, therapy, you know, but really it needs to be moved up and out. And that's also what I teach, is movement is such an essential part of grieving or emotions, because they have to be moved up and out. They can't be stagnant in our body. And what a great way of tapping, I feel like.
Yeah, that's what I was looking for, because I knew it had to be a combination of your body being fully involved.
Yes.
While you're doing the psychological stuff, whatever that is, the emotional stuff, whatever that is.
Yes.
And so, yeah, I actually years ago became a yoga teacher thinking we're going to do yoga.
Hey, I'm a yoga teacher too. I love that. Oh my gosh, he's a yoga teacher. How cool is that?
Well, yeah, I trained with Anna Forrest.
Wow. Cool.
And Downward Dog, Fill Out Your Mood Log. I never did quite figure out how to make those work. I really tried. And that's when I found tapping. And tapping does what I was hoping to, you know, the mind-body connection to happen. This is it. It's involving all your systems, and it really does turn on the record button. And it took me a while to really get that, because for panic disorder, and sometime we'll have to do another one just on panic disorder.
Yeah. Well, I feel like what a gift you're offering, and what you found out over the years of trial and error and wow. So like, I just feel like you're offering such a healing gift to the world and to so many people.
You.
So thank you so much for being on my podcast.
You're so welcome.
I am so grateful for you. So you guys, again, putting all in the show notes, and this is Bill Dovell, right? Did I say it right?
Close. Dovell.
Bill Dovell, EFT master practitioner. And yeah, let's heal the world, you guys, because the world needs healing. The world needs more light. In the world. I feel that so much. So thank you so much for being on my podcast.
Oh, thank you for having me, and you're so welcome. It's been a wonderful experience.
Yes, thank you. And you guys, we will see you on the next show in the next episode, okay? We'll talk to you soon. Hey, thanks for listening. Sending you all the good vibes. The podcast can be found on most major podcasting platforms. Subscribe, follow me on social platforms, Facebook at highvibelifestyle.co, Instagram at _highvibemama, and visit my website, highvibemama.com, and download your free manifesto to launch you into living a high vibrational life. Leave a review, and we'll see you in the next episode. Mm-hmm.